There we go. The web is on here. So we are looking at May 5th, PM service. And tonight, we're still doing this thing about the church. We're going through mysteries. We're going to be doing life's mysteries here pretty quick. But we are starting with Bible mysteries, mystery of godliness. We've talked about that godliness. We have touched on all of them. We could somewhere along the line. We've touched on the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, mystery of God's will, the mystery of the wisdom of God, the mystery of what we all tend to call the rapture here, that kind of a thing. And so today we're looking at Ephesians, where it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I mentioned this morning how probably sometime within this line of looking at life's mysteries, we will look at the failure of marriages or whatever by looking at the mystery of Christ and the church out of Ephesians 5. So we'll do that at a later time. Maybe I should say instead of the failures of marriages, the success of a good marriage type of thing. We'll see. We'll see how that thing even goes. So we're tonight, let's assume, which I know is dangerous, but we understand the King James Bible. We understand rightly dividing. We looked at what is supposed to be going on in the church. The church is a local assembly, and it is a universal, as we call it, where anybody who's actually a saved person is a member of Christ. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? So we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. This is a great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. So this is what we've been looking at. And we looked at the purpose of what the pastors are supposed to be doing, preaching the word, doing the work of an evangelist. We looked at a pastor and a teacher, and a teacher and a pastor. And, we looked at those things. We did leave out, although we all are totally aware of it, we did leave out 1 Corinthians 4:17. This is a real kicker. This is exactly what's supposed to be taught in all the churches, 1 Corinthians 4:17. And you've got to be able to know that reference, 1 Corinthians 4:17. I need to learn that thing. For this cause, which it says, before that, be ye followers of me, Paul says, for this cause, what is that? To follow Paul, have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul's ways are to be taught in every church. Not just Paul's doctrine, but Paul's ways. Big difference there. His manner of life, his ways. And I know a pastor is going to say, oh, we teach Paul's way. Sure, we go into 1 Timothy there. We talk about a pastor being married, and we mention a few things. But you don't do all of them, do you, Mr. Pastor, sir? You don't do them all. You wouldn't dare do them all. I'm here in North Dakota probably because I did preach them all or whatever. Anyway, so there's that one. Another good one that we should always mention when we're talking about a church, a local church situation, is Romans 16:25. Great verse. Fantastic verse, actually. They all are, but I mean, this one really hits the spot. Now to him that is of power to establish you, Romans 16:25, to establish you, me, according to my gospel, meaning Paul. And it isn't just Corinthians, it's what Paul, we've been over that, the gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and that is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Paul's writing, because Paul is the one that was given that the answer to that whole revelation of the mystery, Ephesians chapter 3. So that's what's supposed to be going on in the churches. And I think, you know, what the problem is, years and years ago, Dr. Ruckman was the first guy that taught me that scriptures are the final authority. The whole issue, the whole problem then, as it is today, is authority. Where do you go for your final authority? And it's odd to me because the people that preach, we believe whatever they say to, how's that go now? the Bible to be our final authority in all matters of practice and faith or something like that. And yet, they go right to the rule aspect of it. I cannot still get over these educated Baptist King James guys, and they miss this stuff. And I used to be quite often, I would look at this stuff and I would say, this, I can't possibly be right here with these big guns saying what they're saying. But I look at my book and I go, well, I'll tell you, that's exactly how it has to be. Paul only. You can't throw in the Gospels and you can't throw in Hebrews and Peter and James and John and all. You just can't do it. It's to be taught, but it isn't to be followed. So, what's going on in the churches today? These guys have all given in to gain his godliness, I guess. I mean, they got the big churches, they got the big followings, they got the big donations coming in for the evangelizing. And if that doesn't work, they got their daughters or family or brothers, sons or family singing on harps and melodies and or harps and stringed instruments so they can be biblical, you know. And so people buy those CDs, and so the parent, the dad, who says God called him to this ministry, has to use his children to pay for it. Amazing. So tonight, let's look at, assuming like I started off, assuming that this, we believe this Bible to be what it is. And we believe that this will explain to us, it'll describe to us, that if what I said this morning about the local church, and the purpose and the plan and the future and the design of it, that sort of a thing, then this Bible ought to tell us what's going on in the churches that are not scriptural, that are not correct. And see, here's the problem. Nobody's going to recognize their church, their denomination, take your pick of any of them, their local group, as being any of these descriptions, unless they realize that the King James Bible has taught them what a church is supposed to be, what it's supposed to be doing, what the goal of it's supposed to be, what the doctrine is supposed to be, not to be carried about to and fro. You know, we're supposed to be able to be solid on our doctrine. If they realize that that's a legitimate teaching, according to this Bible, then they will start seeing what's going on in their churches. A lot of people didn't like the music that first came into their churches, but now they're okay with it. I've heard a lot of people say that they're never going to have a woman preacher, pastor, but now a lot of them do. A lot of them said things aren't going to change at this one, and they have. So, let's just see what the scriptures say about an unscriptural local church situation and or the people that are involved with it. So, the first place we have to go, and you all know where it's at, we go to Acts chapter 2. Now, these are all kind of going hand in hand. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And if you don't know this or you've heard it before, but do you remember it enough to show somebody? And that's Acts chapter 2, verse, we can go way back up to 37 if we want. We can go through the whole first eight chapters of Acts. Because that whole first eight chapters of Acts is in response to Mark 16. Let's check it out. Mark 16, which is right along with Matthew Matthew 28. There we go. Matthew 28. These all are tying together here. And if you don't know about rightly dividing, you would look at Acts chapter 2 and go, well, yeah, that's exactly what goes on in my church. Because it says in Mark 16, that's what's supposed to take place, as well as it says that in Matthew 28. So, what's your problem there, sir? Well, my problem is you're only doing part of the commission, as it said. So, looking at Acts 2, and looking at Mark 16 and looking at Matthew 28, we see here what everybody calls the Great Commission. And we don't see that phrase in here, but they call it that because it's a fantastic commission. Well, for example, it says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And this is what they claim. This is where they go after. They are saying that we should be teaching church people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, it just happens to be that up to this point in the Bible, those things that Jesus commanded were not commanded to the Gentiles. It's just that simple. And so missionaries have gone around the world. They've gone to all nations, and they are baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and they're messing the people up. They are deceiving and being deceived and deceiving, and it's waxing worse and worse. They're putting forth a false gospel. They're putting forth a Jewish gospel and a miracle gospel. The everlasting gospel is called in the tribulation, but see, we're not there then. So we go to Mark chapter 16, and we see the same thing, again, only in more detail. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Because those signs and all these miracles and all these things had to be, they were done as signs to Jews. Jews always were the ones seeking a sign. That's what I was taught for years, and then one day I finally read it in my Bible. It makes total sense. This isn't my commission. It just isn't our commission for today. So we go to Acts chapter 2, and we see, because of this is all taking place during that commission, when they went out to all nations and out to the world and teach what Jesus commanded them to teach, this is what they did. Acts chapter 2. Just happens to be that this is what's going on in our churches today. Why is that? They don't reject Jesus Christ. No, they don't reject the Gospels. They don't even reject their Bible, some of them. But they reject this Paul guy. And there's been a conspiracy against Paul since, I don't know, Acts 12 or 9 or 13. They've hated Paul's teachings from the start, and they still do today. It's amazing. And there's no better message out in this world entirety at all other than what the risen Savior has to say to us Gentiles through Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided. But they reject that. So here's what's going on in the churches today, the local assemblies. This is what they follow. And I could say this honestly because I've taught this before without knowing I was teaching this. This is what I did as a pastor my first years. This is what was going on in my churches. I've always belonged to church since I got supposedly saved, which I don't believe I did at the time. Is in Minnesota, southern Minnesota, and then onward to Vegas, and then onward to South Dakota, then onward to Washington, and then back to South Dakota. They had to go to New York somewhere in there, yeah, and come back to South Dakota, then onward to Washington. You know, all those times in there, we were doing this. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, why not? Well, let's keep going here. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And here we go. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, well, look at this, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Who wouldn't want that in your church? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So that's what's going on today. These churches are following the apostles' doctrines, and they're fellowshipping according to the apostles' doctrine, and in communion, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Everybody's got this power of prayer thing floating around. And fear came upon every soul. Well, why is that today? Because the pastor preaches tribulational doctrine to put the fear of people into people. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So if they're going to follow the apostles' doctrine, you would think that they would have miracles and signs, wonders and signs today. Well, they claim that, don't they? I mean, they just do. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Oh, isn't that sweet? And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Well, now that's a little challenging these days, but they like to claim that anyway. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and there it is again, of breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Oh, such a joyful goal to have in one's life. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Well, if you're going to have favor with all the people, you're going to have to be doing what the other people are doing. Maybe a little better, maybe a little cleaner or whatever. But to have favor with all the people, you sure can't make them mad with your preaching. You sure can't make them mad with what you're wearing. You sure can't make them mad by the kind of music you listen to. You can't do that. You've got to give in to the community. You've got to go out there and do your thing and have favor with all these people. And just like it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So people today say added to the church, the local assembly, all these members that are now saved, and they give their testimony, and they've been to the altar, and they do all this stuff, then that's just religion to the max. And what's wrong with that? Well, it's in Acts chapter 2. It's before they killed Stephen and before Paul comes along. So Paul goes through his thing, and in Acts chapter, where are we at here? In the Acts chapter 9 here, Paul has a different kind of salvation experience than what people even claim today, so let him explain that one to you. And yet he says here, he's telling people now that Christ is the Son of God. That's what he's telling. Why would he tell them that? Because that's what they had to tell him. That's what they had to say during the gospel days. That was that's the whole foundation of the church. That's the whole thing. What Peter said is that thou art the Son of God, you know, and that's what Christ said, I'll build my church on that. That's the rock. Not a Baptist church thing. It's just crazy what people go into. So there's what we have. This is what's going on. Favor with people, apostles' doctrine, miracles, signs, wonders. It's all there. Unfortunately, it's very confusing to people because, see, God doesn't give signs all the time. God doesn't do miracles all the time. He just picks and chooses who's going to live and who's going to die. He's going to pick this baby to live, and he's going to pick this baby to die because the people have come to realize, although they wouldn't dare say anything, they've come to realize that God isn't fair. I'm a better Christian than that person, and their son lives and mine dies. He gets a job, I don't got the job. You know, they're a lousy family. Why are they being blessed? And people are confused with all this stuff. They don't see the power of prayer that they hear from the pulpit. They don't see God's blessings when they live this sinless life that they supposedly do. They don't even see God chastising them unless the pastor gets up there and says, yes, what happened to you is God's chastising you because you didn't come to visitation these last 3 weeks. You're not reading your Bible enough. Now, we know what happens to us when we don't read our Bible. We know that. Ephesians chapter 4. We know what happens to us. Does God chastise us? No. Does he rebuke us? No. He doesn't have to. Let's go to Ephesians 4:17. Because, see, this is what happens to us when we don't read our Bible. God isn't thunking on us. This is just what happens. We start to walk like a lost person in the vanity of our mind. Our understanding gets darkened. We are alienated from the life of God through ignorance because, see, we're not reading our Bible. And our heart becomes blinded more and more. We get past feeling, give ourselves over to flesh and lasciviousness. And see, it says right there, but ye have still not learned Christ. Christ didn't teach us all this stuff that we're doing. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, maybe you never were. Maybe you were at one time, but now you're not. So the stuff that's going on in the churches today, people know is bunk. But if they play the game, they have to be conceited. Right? We talked about that. They have to be conceited enough to think that the few good things they do once in a while pleases God enough to bless them. And they have to be conceited enough to know that they are clean enough on the inside now, and on the outside, of course, because this is what they believe, in order for God to not chastise them, but bless them. So it goes on. And I'm telling you, kids, teenagers, young people, they see this hypocrisy, and they know there's something wrong. Just like I saw them blow out the eternal flame and move the cross back and forth and dust the altar and then put it back together. From that day on, I knew something was wrong in that Lutheran church. Everybody's got their experiences in their religion that they saw that it didn't make sense. It didn't work. So, you get into your Bible. See, there's a difference. People just shut it all out then. They just throw the Bible away. Well, that King James Bible can't be the Word of God then, because look what's going on in this world. Well, why can't it be? If you just look to this book as the Word of God, final authority, rightly divide that thing, like I say here, starting next week, we're going to have all these mysteries of life explained. We're going to explore, explain. I just can't find the third word. We have to say understanding. There must be a third word that has an X in it. Explore, explain, and, you know, examine. Hey, I got it. Thank you. I just thought of that. Examine. Right. Okay, examine, which is kind of like explore. We'll put it right after exploring. Expound. Oh, there we go. That's even getting better. Ooh, nice. Expound. Yeah. Ooh, keep going. Keep going. Ooh. It won't be excruciating, though. Isn't excruciate kind of always a negative thing? Excruciating pain? Excruciating joy? I don't know about that. Exhume. Isn't that what they do to dead bodies when they dig them up from the ground? Exhume. I don't think I'll use those two. Inconceivable. I don't think you know what that word means. You use it all. I don't think you know what that word means. Anybody recognize that? Anyway, Mr. G, hang in there with us tonight, 1647. Hang in there with us here, you know. Princess Bride, there you go. Here's something. Totally a bunny trail. Here's something. I did my music kids the other day with my third and fourth graders. I'm looking for some music on YouTube so they can learn to sing along, you know. And I'm realizing the songs they know are just garbage rock songs in some form or another, you know, kind of junk. But we came to the Sound of Music, you know, Catholic. I would think out here, this is Catholic country. You would think everybody would know that song. Do a deer, a female deer, you know, or something like that. You know, all those different songs. Never heard of them. Never heard of her. That's another aging thing. Kids have never heard of the original Lone Ranger. They've never seen records. And now they've never heard of Julie Andrews and the Sound of Music, you know. And as Catholic, maybe I'll do something with it next year, I guess. I don't know. Catholic people, I like that stuff. They don't know about it. But it's war and in there. Oh, what a mess. Okay. So anyway, got to get back on the trail, but I think I dropped all my crumbs somewhere else because it's not leading me back to my trail. Maybe it's time for a new trail here a little bit. So Acts 2, 38 to 47, that's what's going on in the churches, and it's wrong. Now, if a person believes that and recognizes that and sees that, Now, this will make sense. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Classic stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And if people don't see this stuff that's going on in their churches, then yes, we are a nutcase. Because the only thing that can expose what's going on in these churches today is what's supposed to be going on, and that's what Paul teaches. He says his ways, Paul's ways, are supposed to be taught in every church. Paul's ways are not taught in every church. Peter's are. Luke's are. Matthew's are. John especially, because then they take the Bible guys, and they can go deeper into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They all know that you don't do James, because it says to the 12 scattered tribes. So they know that that's not legit. But they still go to Hebrews, you know. And we can go there for facts, for factual stuff, but not for application stuff. And then go to Jude, you know. Jude 4 was a great verse for me. Earnestly contend for the faith. Get out there and be a jerk on the street. That's contending for the faith. So, that's just, it's all a mess. So if they believe that this is, that this Bible is what it says, it is about churches, then now 1 Timothy chapter 3, what is it, verse, what we got here? Why did I write 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, okay. No, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that's what I thought. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This suddenly makes sense to people. This know also that in the last days, you know, perilous times shall come. For the men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, but oh yeah, they're that way, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, my kids are horrible, unthankful, unholy. Oh, for sure, unholy, they're terrible out here. Without natural affection, then you got the gays. Now you also got those parents that take their kids to daycares instead of loving their children at home and teaching them at home. That's unnatural affection too. I heard on the news today that they have discovered, supposedly, that the baby, when a baby is born, it recognizes its mother's voice, and still that voice can actually calm that baby down because it knows mother. So, what does that say about these kids that when they're born, they're shipped off to some daycare, they're shipped off to some baby place? Nursery places, whatever. And the kids don't hear mom's voice. And we wonder why kids are so pizzazzed out today. The family actually, the whole family concept is there to build the children up to be strong and to give them that confidence and that love and that guidance. And it's not there. Anyway, we'll get into some of that with our mystery of life coming up here. So go back. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, that's a good one. Despisers of those that are good. That's the Paul guys, you know. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, plural, more than lovers of God. We're all guilty of that somewhere along the line, you know. Well, how can you say that? Well, just ask yourself that. And then they get slobbered with number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Ooh, that's a tough one. And then Paul puts it on us. He puts it on Timothy, which then in turn puts it on us. Okay, so these modern Christian people who have a form of godliness, we're supposed to turn away. So now the ball is back in our court. Here we are, we're reading the description of the churches that are messed up today, and we get closer to the tribulation, they get messed up more, even more. And yet, he reminds us, by the way, you need to stay away from those people. Well, we work with them, sure we do. And they're neighbors, and we can be friendly to neighbors. You do what you do, you know. But from such, turn away. Well, why is that? Because, in verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, not men, women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is so today. And these people out there that are into this stuff, now as Jans and Jambres or whatever, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So go back and read Moses when he's fighting against the Pharaoh and his buddies there. You know, what goes on there? Because that's what it's like. talking to people. We all know this, but that's what it's like. We're talking to people of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. No, concerning the faith. So, but then he puts it back on us in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's Paul's manner of life. That's Paul's purpose. That's Paul's purpose. Faith, the faith that Paul has, we have. The faith of Jesus Christ himself. And the list goes on. And then he says, by the way, if you want to do the right thing, live in Christ Jesus, you're gonna suffer persecution. And it's gonna get worse. Men and seducers, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Well, what have you learned? That's the stuff for to continue in. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, we've learned them from the risen Savior. We learned them from Paulson. No, you learned them from Paul. No, you actually learned them from the risen Savior. So that's what's going on today. Now, we can also go to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's a good spot to look at what's going on today. Because none of these churches have a King James Bible only teaching or standard or whatever. Even the King James Bible guys are backing off. Oh, it causes too much division. Oh, that doesn't cause division like going to Paul does. So we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, otherwise what? Well, if any man teach otherwise, verses 1 and 2 tell us men how to be a working Christian at a job. Whether that boss be a Christian or not. So that's supposed to be taught. And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior. We're supposed to be teaching the words of our risen Savior. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness, and godliness is defined by Paul. And if they're not doing that, if they're not into that, which these churches are not, then these marvelous pastors, these marvelous friends of yours, these very respectable community leaders and the whole spiel, they're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth? Sure they are. And probably the easiest thing to tell is right here where it says, supposing that gain is godliness. There it is. This religious crowd thinks if we get more people to come, more parties, more ice cream socials, more things, you know, we get more people to come. If we build a better building, more people will come. You know, the whole thing, because obviously godliness is how many people we have going there, how many people come. That's what they say. Says right here, this is part of that crowd that is destitute of the truth. They suppose that gain is godliness. And then Paul says it again, to Timothy, to us, of course, from such, withdraw thyself. Okay, so now we're able to figure out what's going on in these churches. Well, we're not there anymore, but I've got some listeners out there, Baptist guys, not sure they're listening anymore, some of them. They are supposed to withdraw from that Baptist church because it doesn't teach them Paul. They'll talk about Paul. They'll use some of Paul's teachings. But they'll also use some of Jesus' teachings to the Jews in the Gospels. They'll also go to tribulational teachings and put their fear into these people. They'll do this all the time. And they pop in a few Paul things once in a while. Well, I'm sorry, but you are supposed to get out of that church. I know your wife loves it there. I know your kids love the music that goes on in the teen group. If you haven't already lost them by now, you're about to lose them real soon. If you are, your kids like the Sunday school games that they play. They like to put things together and make pretty little things. They like to watch vegetables talk. And they all love to sing along these new hippity-dippity songs that they're singing in church. Yeah, that's the stuff you're supposed to withdraw from. Those are the very people you're supposed to turn away from such a turn away. So get out of that church. I mean, you would think, here we have a simple King James Bible, English, not hard to read, not hard to understand, called plainness of speech, the simplicity of Christ, and people just got to stay in those places. They've got to stay with their religion. Paul even goes beyond these things we're reading here. Paul goes in Acts 19. He tells them to despise that religion. He tells us to destroy the magnificence. Acts 19, 26, 27, 28. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, boy, there goes your friends. Yeah, there goes lots of things when you start doing that. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we got a great place. We've got not only what Paul tells us to do, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. That's always been interesting. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine, of course. Remember, the manner of life that Paul has is to pray and have tears and long-suffering and patience and prayer and all these things. Yes, he does, but he also finally gets us to rebuke. He finally gets us to reprove. That has to take place also. And then he goes and says, why? Well, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the rightly divided truth. Rightly divided by Paul, not by based on the college or the guru you follow. King James Bible. They'll turn away their ears from that stuff. And it says, and shall be turned unto fables. Then he tells us, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. And I said for years since I've read that, evangelists don't build churches. They evangelize, they preach, and they teach, and they show people the book. Then hopefully one of those guys will become a pastor and keep the clan together and similar doctrines and the rightly divided in the way it goes. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. Because we've learned in Ohio that, I'm no skilled orator, but we know that the people in Ohio did not want to hear about Paul. And the Baptist guy did everything he could to discourage his people from considering what was being said. Amazing stuff out there. So those are the things. That's what's going on. So what's going on in these churches today? That's the problem. You want the right kind of a church? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and see what Christ did for the church. And it describes the church. The church, we're members. We're all the church. We are the church. So, we have had an internet church. And so today I typed in internet churches to see what was out there. Oh man, what a mess. It's just this Mark 16 stuff, signs and miracles and wonders and the power of prayer and the fellowship and worship with us over the internet, worship. Let's finish this up with that worship thing in Acts chapter 17, although we're going to talk about it later. It's one of the mysteries of life out there, the power of music. We go to Acts chapter 17, and here's another kicker for the churches today. Then we'll be done. What's the big plus to get people to come to your church today? That's to come worship with us, and that's the music. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. Doesn't matter who you're coming in. They just happen to have a singing family. Or she plays harp, or they play, you know, trumpet or something. Doesn't matter who's preaching. It's all about music. And we'll get into this in more detail, but although we've been over this 1,000 times, Acts 17, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Touche, you men of Hazleton, you men of Georgia, you men of Florida, you men of California, et cetera, Arizona. I perceive that in all things, you're just too superstitious. For as I passed by, beheld your devotions, plural, which means they were doing their little devotional things, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom ye therefore ye ignorantly worship. They know nothing about God. Nothing. Him declare I unto you. Paul, look into Paul. We will learn about God. The living God. We will learn about the known God. K-N-O-W. We can know him. We can know about him. God that made the world, in verse 24, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. But see, he did in the Old Testament. He was in that little holy of holies back in there. We don't have that anymore. And neither is worship with men's hands. Sculpturing statues? Sure. But what about music? Worship is music. Music is worshiping. And you got your hands, you got your talent, you got your musical instruments, you got your directing, you got your arrangements, you got all this stuff going on, piano, keyboard, saxophone, the whole spiel. This worship is a huge thing going on today. I'm sorry, folks, but God cannot be worshipped that way. You know nothing about your God. And he goes on and explains all that. So, yeah, churches are a mess. So we're not going to change anything here. I'm just going to put a page up that explains the whole internet concept, or the whole internet church concept. And if you want one, you're here. Here you are. We got the music. We don't worship through it. It's just there for edification, like it says in Colossians and Ephesians. And it doesn't have to be so-called Christian music either. This has to be clean music. And there's a place for offerings. There's a place for fellowship. You can talk to each other. You can email people. You can talk to them, chat before and after the sermon. You can have your little coffee, and you can have your cookies and your donuts and stuff. And you don't have to pay for a parking lot. And you don't have to, there's a reason for the money you give instead of just being put on the spot over. Anyway. So there's two comments about the local church and about church, the body of Christ, us. The way they're doing it and the way they're doing, why they're doing it wrong and the way it's supposed to be done and how to do it correctly. Keeping in mind, of course, that we are the body of Christ and we are the church. So what we are doing, this is when we gather together. We gather together to. That's all I know. So there you have it.